So the California fire is still going on, and so much going on.
They said 7,700 homes now.
Oh, is that the number it's
total,
up to?
Yeah.
Oof. And there's another fire started. I know this morning they mentioned there's something down in Southern California. Like, we talking about it. It could happen in San Diego. I don't even know if it's big.
Right.
But it was on the news early this morning saying that something started down there. Pink's husband is making headlines. Apparently, their house has been threatened. I don't think it burned down.
He's a skater guy, right? Or a dirt bike rider?
One of those.
Carrie Yikes, Hart?
Carrie Hart.
Yes. BMX?
Yeah.
Well, he has stated that any looters, anybody coming near their house, will be shot on sight. So, that very, very strong words, but making it clear.
The minute you say shot on sight,
you're not coming into my house.
I automatically start singing the Tesla song. Signs.
Oh, really? You'll be shot on sight? Yeah. That's right. That's right. The former motocross star declared he would defend their properties affected by the Woolsey fire. While, you know, many are fighting flames, they said. But, I mean, so I guess he's in his... And by the way, there's more than just him.
Of course.
But there's a dozen gun-wielding men that are called the PDC Posse, and they're looking as well. What?
Yeah, You had me until you called yourself a posse.
They have a sign, and they put it on Instagram.
Now I laugh at you.
Looters will be shot on sight.
Right. Monica, after Hurricane Superstorm Sandy hit here, Roger and I, after one of our shows, decided to start driving around into neighborhoods that we knew were wrecked really understand what we were talking about when we got on the air the next day.
Yeah.
And those signs were on plywood in front of more houses than I could count.
Yep.
Looters will be shot. Looters will be killed.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, you loot.
Oh, they were serious.
Like, you loot, you die. Like, that stuff was everywhere.
And driving by in the car, they'd look up. And just look and see who you are in the car and what's going on, if you're slowing down, if you're not. Like, right away, they're on the defensive because it's like maybe a guy is at his house and his family's not there. He's just there to protect his house and try to clean it up before his wife and kids have to come back, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they were having none of it.
It was that big of a problem?
I think in their mind, it was the one thing they can do.
And they felt... I'm sure they felt open to it.
Right.
Right? They felt totally without any help. There was no police in the area. They're not going to get any help at the moment.
Right. Vulnerable is a great word for it. And that was the one thing, like, they have left. Like, all I have left is the stuff in that house.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if I'm just going to roll over and let everybody take it.
Like, and nobody around to help you.
It's like, you know, as a man, it's your job to protect your family and protect your home and all that other kind of stuff, you know?
So that's what Pink's husband said. And so what can you, obviously, if someone, you catch someone breaking physically into the front door of your house or a window.
I don't know the laws in California. It varies from
I would
state
think
to
you
state.
Can defend your stuff. I would think. But, you know, what if you see people looting your neighbor's house? Are you allowed to go? I mean, I don't think you can just go shoot people.
No, you can't. You probably have to call the cops. But even if they break into your house, you have to feel, I know... Is it New York or Florida? I know in New York you have to, the threat of.
Is it breaking the threshold or something?
Yeah, but you also have to feel threatened because, like, if they're in your
ground thing.
Yeah, because like if they're in your just because they're in your house, you can't shoot them. Like if they're in your house but they're walking out and you shoot them, then you can get popped.
Stand your ground situation. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's different. I mean, in Florida, it's easier to kill somebody. Than it is here, as far as, like, if they break into you. We don't have the stand your ground thing. We're supposed to just be victims in New York.
Right. Like, I could be in my house at the top of the stairs of my house. Like, it faces the front door. So I'm on the second floor. And if someone comes through the door, I can't necessarily shoot the guy if, A, he's not armed and doesn't pose a threat.
Well, why would you want to shoot him if he doesn't pose a threat?
Because he broke into my house and my family's in there.
Get out of my house. Call 911. And, I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
you don't have to.
Well, and now he starts coming up the stairs.
Right.
Now I feel threatened. Now we got something. But if he comes across the door, you can't just shoot him because he came across the door. Originally, I thought a long time ago that that might be the law, but you have to, you know, a guy was shot. I think the case we talked about was a guy who was shot and was like laying across a window or a doorway or something. And it's hard to prove, like, if he was on his way in, on his way out, if he had crossed the threshold. But you have to be, you have to be threatened, I guess. So I'm wondering, in a situation like this, though, these are extreme situations where whole neighborhoods are burned out and a guy's there defending his house. You know, or maybe there's one or two houses in the area. Like, at what point are you allowed? They say looters will be shot on sight. How does that work? You know, how do you have to determine and be sure someone's a looter? They have to be going in your house. I mean, that's like a tricky situation, but I think JP called it right. People feel vulnerable, and they're defending their what they've got left, which isn't much.
Right.
And they just don't want to lose that too, I guess.
And I'm sure, again, I'm sure Carrie Hart's not the only one who said or put that out there, but because his name is, he is who he is, the media goes and runs with it. And some media will treat him as like somebody, a man who's doing right by his home, and some media will paint him as...
As this is happening.
Apparently, they already have the soundtrack for the break-in. Who knew?
Brett's microphones are there live.
Well, I think that'll teach anybody from breaking into his house.
How about that?
Yeah. Why is there an elephant? I don't know
why. They're very rich.
Right.
They're elephant rich, which is a step above tortoise rich.
Right.
You see? That is very rich.
It's not true. I'm richer than Pink.
Are you?
Didn't you discover her? Weren't you the one who...
I got an elephant tortoise. and elephantitis.
You have giant nuts?
You want to see him?
I'm good, thanks.
Thanks, Scout. We didn't know that, but it's a new personal fact now that is out in the open for Bone listeners.
I showed him to Galvin this morning for his birthday.
Happy birthday, Galvin.
It's my elephant nuts.
I did not know. Bob on line one, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Hey. Good, Bob.
I used to work in D.C., and dealt with the Secret Service and a lot of police officers. I worked in a bicycle shop, and we fixed their bicycles. And I had this similar conversation about not necessarily stand your ground, but if someone breaks into your home, what are you allowed to do or whatever? And both the Secret Service and the police told me if they break into your home, they are coming in there expecting for someone to be home, and that's a violent act. Breaking into your home, it's considered violent. So you are threatened as soon as they come in the house.
How can they? They just said that they're assuming someone's home. Wouldn't somebody break into a house assuming there isn't somebody home?
Not necessarily. But
then in that case, that's not so violent. If you think nobody's home, ooh, I didn't mean anything. I was just going to say some stuff. I didn't want to run into anybody. You know what I mean?
Well, you got.
But they're saying as soon as someone breaks in, you can shoot them.
I do understand that, my thing is, I always assume there's someone home. I mean, just because like one of the things the guy said is if your car's parked in the driveway, you know, and they break into your home when there's a car parked in the driveway, you have every right to put them down.
Wow, because they assume someone home went in anyway. Okay.
Right. But, I mean, they're breaking into a home. First and foremost, that's illegal, and it's an aggressive act breaking into a home.
Right.
That's not like taking someone out of the back of someone's truck or something like that.
Right.
You're breaking into a home.
Right.
So if that's just my personal opinion, and I wanted to share with you. Like, that's what the Secret Service and a lot of the police that I talked to in D.C. said, so, and, you know, D.C. is not a very happy Second Amendment state.
Oh, it's a high crime area, isn't it?
It's an extremely high crime area.
A lot of shootings? And,
a lot of shootings. Like, just west of us, it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I mean, you hear about it.
Oh, there we go. Out of time. Bob, thank you. Wear the playoff badge of honor.
I always wonder how soon they realize that they're no longer talking to you guys. You know what I mean? Like, is he still talking?
Like, after the music has really drowned him out.
Yeah, does he keep going?
Badge of honor, Bob. There you go. Quick call. James, a line two, then we should really go to a
break.
Let's
do it all again.
I don't know how it relates to about the house, but... back when I was 8 years old, I lived in Brooklyn in tenement buildings. And I remember my pops worked nights. And one day this guy, drug addict, used to live in that same apartment. He started slamming on a door trying to break into our apartment. And my mom grabbed my dad's gun out of the drawer and cracked the door open, put the chain on the door and cracked the door open and said, "Chris, you better get out of here. I'll shoot you. And she already called the cops. When the cops showed up, I remember telling my mom, listen, you can shoot him, but after you shoot him, you drag him halfway in this doorway before you call us.
Right.
That's what he said to her?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He said, she said, I was going to shoot him. And he said, you can shoot him, but you make sure before we show up, you drag him halfway in this apartment. And in fact, they found the guy OD, under the stairway,
Right.
It was pretty crazy, man.
Because Monica, if you shoot him outside,
right,
he's got to have been in the house before you can shoot him.
You can't tell that with a streak of blood or anything. I mean,
the cops don't care.
Oh my!
He fell and slid in.
Right.
I don't know
exactly.
Who knows? In the door.
Yeah, exactly. Because the cops don't want. The cops know that you're a law-abiding citizen, and that he's a skell who is breaking into your house. So they're just saying, listen, shoot him next time. Just make sure he's in the house.
Wow.
Yeah. He should have said that better. Let him break through the door and then shoot him.
Because they don't want to prosecute the law-abiding citizen. They want to,
Yeah.
And they also don't want to have to arrest that guy again. They'd rather him be dead.
It's just paperwork.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
All right. There you go. A couple good lessons in there, too, Monica. This is a really good learning day, isn't it?
Who thinks of this stuff? Why would anybody ever think of this?
We are so learning today.
Different kind of school, but I'm down.
Different?
We covered law.
It's like street school.
We covered religion.
How do you like that?
Well, thank you, John Sterling.
Well, Roger, JP, it's the Bone Real Raw Radio.
Son of a Monkey Killer is on line 3.
And
he's always entertaining.
Oh, hey.
What's going on, Monkey Killer?
There he is.
Gentlemen, lady, how y'all doing?
Well, good. A man with worldwide experience being, right. Your life was traveling around the world with your dad being a diplomat, right? Is that... in a nutshell?
Correct. Yes.
So tell us.
I joined the service, and I mean, I just kept traveling. I lived overseas most of my life. But yeah, that's basically the breakdown. I was trying to get into the whole castle doctrine. You're allowed to pop a guy in your house. You know what I mean? And the caller prior to me broke it down. I've heard law enforcement tell me as well. Drag him in.
Right.
Shoot him and drag him in the house, man.
As long as they're in the house, it looks like they've broken in, and they want to arrest the bad guy. They don't want to arrest the good people. They want to arrest, they want to take the bad people to justice, not the good people.
So if the looters cross through the door, or don't cross through the door, you want to end up with them inside. So looters can be shot on sight, I guess, is what we're talking about, if they're about to break into your house or are breaking into your house.
Castle doctrine is part of California law. You know, I'm not positive. I'm not a lawyer. You know what I mean? I'm not positive it's part of Florida law, but I've heard it said.
Yeah, Roger and I aren't positive about anything.
I have a story for you guys today, man, if you want one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So... when we were there, I think it was my first year, I was 10 or 11, Indira Gandhi was assassinated. Her Sikh bodyguards lit her up, shot her like 35 times or something.
Wow.
So, and they were Sikhs, you know, the guys with the turbans.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next, I would say 10 days, all of New Delhi went absolutely ape crap.
Crazy. Yeah.
All right. And they killed pretty much every Sikh they could find.
Wow.
My next door, and they were burning him and everything. It was no joke. My next door neighbor was a Sikh, an awesome guy. He was friendly with my parents. We'd eat at each other's houses and stuff. And he was a real big dude, proud guy. My dad was telling him, dude, because Sikh's last name is Singh, S-I-N-G-H. That's
okay. That's
typical. Now they may have other last names, but a guy with a last name Singh is a Sikh in India.
Okay.
It's out there, and, you know, there's a little gate in the front of the house. Anyway, my dad's telling him, dude, cover your sign, stay in the house, just, you know, keep yourself safe. And the dude was like, no chance, man. Puts on a bright red turban and standing out in front of his house, and they came down the street, shot him, and lit him on fire right in front of us.
Are you kidding?
Nope.
What?
You think as he's bleeding out in front of his house, he'd be like, the white man was right.
Wow.
Yeah, he wished he'd listened to my dad.
Yeah.
Was he, like, defending his house? Did he at least have a weapon?
No. Nope. He was a proud man and wasn't going to be intimidated by the mobs of millions of people with guns, and there were even cops getting in on it.
Serious?
And I mean, it was the whole city. You could see it was the whole city was burning. It was unbelievable, man.
Craziness.
And you witnessed it?
Oh, yeah.
How old were you?
School. They canceled school. I was 10 or 11. They canceled school.
What?
You couldn't get across the city. You know what I mean? The whole city was like raging on fire. And,
right.
Yeah.
But so you saw a guy shot and lit on fire.
Yeah. Right in the street, right in front of the house. Yeah.
So as a as a diplomat's kid, you just went to an Indian public school? Like, they don't do schooling for the diplomat's kids that are at the embassy?
Yeah, separate school.
The school is called AES, American Embassy School.
Okay.
But it was like all embassies basically sent their kids. It was a huge school, and it was a super international school where you just had people from all over the world. One of my best friends was from Lebanon, and you know what I mean? I knew other French kids. Xavier was a complete maniac, and it was an international school, kindergarten through 12.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. What an experience that must have been. Jeez. Man, that's horrible.
Monkey killer, you're like an onion. Every day you call in is a different layer, we figured. Yeah. All right, brother, be well.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good one.
You got it. George on line one, what's happening?
Hi, good afternoon. Love the show.
Thanks,
George.
Sir. What's up?
Listen, my uncle shot a guy when I was 15 years old that broke into his home.
He
broke into the house, and my uncle was asleep in the bedroom with his wife, my Aunt Blanche, and he got up and he had a 30-06 and shot the guy right in the house. And police came and said it was a legitimate shooting. He was in the house trying to rob him. So
did he kill him?
Yeah. 30-06. Yeah. He killed him. The bullet went through him like the size of a quarter, came out his back, I guess the size of a silver dollar.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I mean, I remember at 15 years old, my father was the mayor of the city, and that didn't help him. My uncle went to jail, and then they released him because they said it was a legitimate shooting.
Wow.
You know, he broke into the house and just came in the door and was walking around in the house, and my uncle said, I told Aunt Blanche to stay on the side of the bed and don't follow me out there because I don't want to look for two of you. And got him right there, right on the spot. So,
wow.
Yeah. And he got away with it. So, I mean, it was a legitimate shooting because he said the guy was in the house and they broke into the house.
That's it.
I think that should be a law. You know, once he's in your house, he's invading your privacy.
Yeah, thanks, George. Yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, it's funny. We sit here and we joke about it. If that guy comes to my house, I pull, you know, I kill him. It takes balls to pull the trigger.
You have to live with it the rest of your life. I mean, it doesn't just end there. For the rest of your life, you know, you have to. I mean, I understand it's a bad person who meant you harm or your family harm or whatever. So I don't know if the remorse is, but you still have that memory. You still have to live knowing that you took another person's life. That's kind of
I mean, I think I can get over that, knowing what the reality of the situation, as long as I didn't just do it all willy-nilly and whatnot, just go up and pop somebody innocent or whatever it is. But if I felt threatened, I think I can get over that. But it doesn't mean I think I've told the story on the air probably, when I went hunting and I finally had my first deer in the crosshairs of the scope, I started shaking like crazy. Shaking like crazy. And then by the time I pulled the trigger, I screwed up so bad that the barrel of the rifle was pointing to the sky. I mean, that's how much I was shaking. And that's a deer.
Right. So you can imagine someone with their first time pointing a gun at a human.
And your adrenaline's running and you're scared.
That's
and
what it is.
I mean, it's just nuts. Who wants to ever?
Not as easy
that's
as
why
seems.
A lot of the times if they tell you, if you're going to have a firearm for the house, make it a shotgun. Because you don't have, and Bill Burr does a really funny bit about this, but it's true. You know, chances are with a handgun, you're shaking your adrenaline, you're going to miss. With a shotgun, you just have to point in the general direction.
Close enough, yeah.
And you're going to do some damage, you know? And he does a really funny bit about going into a gun store in Reno and saying he wants to buy a gun to protect the house. And he goes, you know what? Just go on YouTube and put in Bill Burr. Gun store, read whatever it is. It's a really funny, really funny bit. But it don't make no difference, 'cause I ain't gonna be
easy. The only time. Roger and GP on 102.5.